Well, I'm a little bit nervous. Needless to say, since this is only the second time that I've ever preached. But I want to take just a second and thank Pastor and Brother Armstrong for the opportunity to be able to preach. It's a privilege to be able to stand up and try to minister to folks. And I definitely don't take it lightly. So I guess I'll go ahead and dive into my text here. If you'll stand and turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 12. It says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." And Pastor, if you'd pray over the service. Amen. Well, the verse that I just read is often referred to as the Golden Rule. Most people today mistakenly quote it as "do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Did you know that that's not actually in the Bible anywhere, word for word? Even though many people know this rule, most don't adhere to it on any regular basis. And if they do mention it, it's when somebody does them wrong and they're upset about it. Whereas when they treat someone else wrong, they say, "Oh, well, that person had it coming." Or, "I don't care if they treat me like that. That's fine with me." When in reality, we don't want people to treat us like that. Many, if not all of us, like to be treated with dignity and respect. Who in their right mind wants to be mistreated or taken advantage of? So then why, if we like to be treated so well, do we often treat other people in a way contrary to the Word of God? In the verse I just read, Jesus tells us that we're to treat others the same way we ourselves want to be treated. So if I want Brother Armstrong to be nice to me, then I need to be nice to him, right? I've got 4 points, and it'll go pretty quickly, that I hope will open our eyes to several different things that the Lord has opened my heart in this message. First, if you won't do it for them, why should they be willing to do it for you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, that I just quoted, says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now let me break that verse down into two parts for just a second. The first part of the verse says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you." This is referring to all the things that we want people to do to us or for us. We want people to be nice to us, to talk nice to us, to treat us well, to respect us, to care about our feelings. We want to be able to go to people and talk to them and have them not just hear it and let it go. We want them to care for the burdens that we have. The second portion of the verse says, "Do ye even so to them." This is telling us that whatever we are expecting others to do for us or to us, we need to be doing to them first, if we expect it in our own lives. And because this verse says that in that way, we should do things for others that we expect them to do for us. We have to do those things for them regardless of whether they do it for us or not. It doesn't say you should treat them right only if they treat you right, but that we need to be treating them the same regardless of what they're doing to us. If someone that I know starts telling lies about me to all of my friends, I shouldn't be going around telling lies about them trying to get them back. That's not what I'm commanded to do. And that kind of ties into my second point, which is resolving your issues with others. If we need to clear up a problem with someone, then we need to go to them and do what we can to make it right. According to Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, where it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." This verse shows us that if we know of a problem between us and another person, that we need to be the ones that take the initiative to go and make it right. It doesn't say that we need to go only if we're the ones that have done wrong to someone else, but it says that we also need to do it if they have done wrong to us. So regardless of where the fault lies in the problem, we are to be the ones that step up and try to take care of it. Oftentimes we'll know of an issue that we have with someone else or that they may have with us, but we're unwilling or afraid to go and talk to them about it. The longer we wait to deal with an issue, the more difficult it'll become to resolve. The more time we ourselves sit and ponder a problem, the more frustrated we will become. If pastor says something that I don't like, that makes me feel offended or hurts me in some way, and I'm not willing to go and talk to him about it, every time I see him or think about that from then on, it's going to make my situation worse. And it's going to make me more likely to be willing to go and talk about that problem to other people whose business it's not. And that's called gossip. Sometimes we're afraid of how others might react to what we have to say. Or maybe we think that we won't have the right words to make them understand what we're trying to say. If you truly desire to see the problem resolved and not just to argue and bicker with somebody to prove your point, then God will step in and give you the words that you need to say. And He also can work on both your heart and the heart of the other person if you'll allow Him to. Our relationships with others are very important in the eyes of God. He says that we are to first be reconciled to our brother, then come and offer our gift. This is also very strongly emphasized in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We are constantly to maintain a peaceable relationship with everyone to the best of our ability. There are going to be times when you try to make something right with someone and they won't have any part of it at all. And in these times, you need to simply step back, make sure that you have done everything that you can humanly do to rectify the problem, and if they still won't let it be right, then you need to simply lay it at God's feet and let Him deal with it. At this point, there's nothing more that you can do, and the matter is between them and God. My third point is to love your enemies. The Bible tells us that we are to love our enemies. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." In these verses, we can see the continued emphasis on how we're to treat others regardless of whether we've been treated good or bad. It's definitely not easy to be nice to someone when they've done something wrong to you. But we must put aside how we feel and do what the Word of God tells us to do. Basically, Jesus is saying that we must have the same love for our enemies that we do for our friends, our family, or even ourselves. Webster's defines an enemy as a person who feels hatred for, fosters harmful designs against, or engages in antagonistic activities against another, an adversary or an opponent. The word antagonistic means that something is acting in complete and active opposition to something else. A good example of that is in reference to Satan and God. Satan is antagonistic towards God because he is against everything that God is for. An enemy is anyone that has the desire to see you suffer in any way, shape, or form. Maybe you have a coworker that tries to make you angry every day when you go to work. They know just how to push your buttons, and they'd like nothing more than to see you blow up in their face. Maybe it's someone that constantly puts you down or tries to make you feel like you're less of a person just so they can feel like they're better than you. Or someone that does anything they can think of to hurt you or to get you in trouble. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." This means that anyone that isn't doing you good is your enemy. Either the person is serving God, in which they shouldn't be trying to do you harm, or they're serving mammon or Satan in trying to cause you trouble. But after that, remember, Jesus said that we are to do good to them which hate us or do us wrong. This means that we shouldn't reward evil for evil, but that we should reward evil for good. So all those people that I just got done talking about are the very people that we need to strive to treat better than ourselves. And my final point, do it for others so that God can do it for you. In Matthew 18, we see a story of a servant indebted to his Lord, but he doesn't have enough money to pay the debt that he owes. So I'll start with verse 36, where it says, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay his debt." Why would this servant do this to a fellow servant after having been forgiven of his own debt? He was evidently a very selfish and self-centered person in that he could only think of his own situation or his own personal gain, and not learn the lesson that had just smacked him in the face in that story. Now I'll continue from verse 32, where it says, "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Now notice what Jesus points out as the lesson for this parable in verse 35. It says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." If we don't forgive those trespasses, those that trespass against us or do us wrong, then according to this verse, God can't forgive us of our sins. Likewise, if we're not willing to step in and help someone that's in need, then how can we expect God to move and step in and meet our needs? If we truly love each other more than we love ourselves, as this word commands us, then the needs of our brothers and sisters should far outweigh any needs that we feel for ourselves. What if you're the only person that knows that someone else has a need? If you don't do anything about it, who will? We can't stand by and expect everyone else to do the work that we ourselves are expected to be doing. Remember, God uses us to carry out His will. So if you know about a need that someone has, maybe God has put you in a position to meet that need. When was the last time that you went out of your way to do something nice for someone else? How about the last time you gave up a small convenience in order to bless someone? Far too often we look at what we have and think, well, I've worked hard for this money and I can do whatever I want with it. We would have nothing if God didn't provide for us what we have. Riley, can you give yourself a job and then pay yourself to do that job? No. Can you teach Pastor how to do the job that you're doing and then ask him to teach you that same job? No. That doesn't make any sense. That's ridiculous. God provides us with the means to provide for ourselves. He gives us the knowledge that we need to be able to do the job that He's provided, and He gives us the strength to actually do it. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." We are to be willing to give openly to bless others, not so that we might gain recognition or to be lifted up by the praises of men, but so that we might, through our willingness to bless others, bring glory and honor to His name. Anything and everything that we do should point back to Christ. Jesus was willing to give everything that He had so that we might be saved and be co-heirs with Him in glory. He left the splendor and magnificence of heaven to come and be made low by us, His creation, that He might be able to reconcile us to Him. That's by far the greatest sacrifice that anyone could ever give. Shouldn't we at least be willing to give up a little something in and of our own lives to bless someone else, even if it's only for a small moment? Sister Dement, she's not in here. I'll have you play something, Patrick. In closing, I hope you can see the different points that I've tried to get across. I don't think there are any words that can truly express the burden that we're to have for our brothers and sisters. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 sums it up well, where it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The word burdens here comes from the Greek word baros, which is referring to more than just the difficulties of life. Baros refers to the burdens that cannot be carried alone, like the burdens of a transgressor. Such burdens require outside assistance to overcome. For example, if someone is swimming in a lake and they start to drown, their only source of help is someone other than themselves. If no one steps in and helps them with the burden that they're bearing, what's going to happen? They're going to drown. In very much the same situation, we were drowning in our sins with no hope to save ourselves. But Jesus, setting the example for us, came and bore those burdens when we couldn't. We as Christians are to help uphold and maintain every aspect of the law of Christ. We're not only to follow all the written commandments of the Word of God, but also to embody the very character of Christ. Then, as this verse says, shouldn't we be doing a better job of bearing one another's burdens? If you'll stand, I'm going to close and pray over the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would open the hearts and minds of all present, Lord, to the words that You have given me to speak tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would just have Your will and way around these altars and do something in our hearts and lives for eternity's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll come and find yourself a place to pray,